is Drake versus Allen. Mr. Catlett, you can approach. I will note for the record that the appellee did not file a brief, and so the appellee has not appeared here today. So again, this is Drake versus Allen, and Mr. Catlett, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Matt Catlett representing Dale Allen in this case. I would ask for rebuttal time. This case arises from the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, UIFSA. There was a an attempt, we contend, a failed attempt to register a child support order issued by the Oklahoma Department of, I think, Human Services.
Counsel, just out of curiosity, and I know we denied the appellee's motion for summary dismissal, but is there a reason you didn't want to agree to dismissing the underlying action?
And not unless they agreed to forever, not ever again seek this, you know, because that doesn't do anything for my client. I understand what Your Honor is saying. The appellee moved for a summary dismissal, which court correctly denied because that's a jurisdictional claim and there was no absence of jurisdiction. But I don't even know that that's authorized. I'm not even sure that the state has the ability to, quote, zero out in your arrearages. I don't know where that was coming from, but.
Well, I don't mean to belabor that point, but I was curious.
Yeah, I just don't know because, I mean, unless it was going to be like, hey, we agree with you forever to the end of time that this order will never, ever be registered or enforced in this state, at least by the state of Nebraska. Then I would have been fine with it.
But even if you succeed here, you don't get that result either.
That's true. That's true. That's absolutely true. They could try again. Yeah. Now, unless the court finds, that is, that the district court did have jurisdiction, and that it finds that the registration procedures were followed, but reverses on the issue of, you know, whether Dale Allen did present a defense and, you know, sustained his sort of burden of contesting registration.
Let's address your first argument that because, in your opinion, the procedural requirements were not followed for registration, that the Nebraska district court did not have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
No Nebraska authority along those lines. Would you agree?
No, I absolutely agree with that. There are two very persuasive cases from other jurisdictions, of course.
Well, you cite to the Court of Appeals of Kansas case.
Kansas case.
That very were you aware similar. that was reversed by the Kansas Supreme Court?
The
Chalmers versus Burrow case was reversed by the Kansas Supreme Court in 2021?
No. I was not.
It was.
Okay.
And then the North Carolina case.
I don't know when in 2021, because this brief was filed in 2021, so I'm not sure of the date.
Okay. In any event, they did reverse the finding that there was no jurisdiction.
Okay. Well, the state of, I think there's another North Carolina case, and that was, I believe, under the UCCJEA.
Right, so not completely on point.
Not exactly on point, not involving UIFSA, but I mean, it is effectively the same. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It's, you know, certified copy, two certified copy, whatever it is. So, I mean, look, this is one problem, okay? There's no certified copy. There's also no letter of transmittal. I mean, there's this sort of facsimile document that is from Oklahoma that was, it appears to be, has not sent to the district court, but sent to the, quote, NE Central Registry.
Did you raise that question before the district court?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you
know,
didn't
a lot of
this
stuff we don't know because this stuff is filed. I mean, you know, he just gets a copy of this and, you know, this order that says, you know, this order has been registered if you wish to contest it. You know, it's just this template kind of thing. And so we go and we file our whatever it is to contest registration. But You know, so some of these things I, you know, sort of kind of figured out post, honestly, to be honest, sort of post hearing, you know, in this case. But as we all know, subject matter jurisdiction is never waived. It can never be conferred on a court by acquiescence or conduct, and it can be raised by any party at any stage of the proceedings. And so that's what we contend is the problem here, is that there is no subject matter jurisdiction because there was no letter of transmittal requesting registration. There was this, quote, child support enforcement transmittal number one initial request, but this was simply a copy of a fax sent to by CSS of Oklahoma to NE Central Registry. The letter of transmittal requesting registration simply must come from the obligor, the obligee, or a, quote, support enforcement agency of Nebraska, which by statute means DHHS. That definitely didn't happen. This appeared, and we didn't know about this until we had a hearing, that this was like just delivered to the clerk by an employee of the Platte County Attorney's Office, which raises all kinds of problems or issues, because under our law, the only person that can file documents are the party or a lawyer for the party. And she wasn't. She was not a lawyer for DHHS, and she was not the mother of this child, and she was not my client. So that's one problem. There was also no sworn statement of any arrearages. There was a, I think the first one, it didn't even have a signature. It just had a typed name. It, you know, again, one of the the third requirement is sworn statement of the person requesting registration, or a certified statement by the custodian of records showing the amount of any arrearages.
And so at the hearing, though, there was another copy that was signed and notarized of the payment record that was offered and received.
And it of course, is our contention, or my contention, that you can't satisfy the jurisdictional requirement at a hearing that is only occurring because the obligor or alleged obligor has requested, is attempting to contest it, that all has to be done at the outset, at the filing. So again, if it isn't properly done, remember what happens here. When you file this stuff correctly, it's registered. Okay, it's just registered right now. It's registered. And notice has to be given, right? And then you contest essentially registration, but it's registered. It is registered as of the date that all of those jurisdictional requirements are satisfied. And so, you know, that's why we contend that it can't be cured by somehow offering it into evidence at some subsequent hearing, because
But the defenses to that at the hearing that you request don't include jurisdiction because, or lack of jurisdiction because of lack of compliance with the procedures.
Right. And if you look at the statute under the sort of the bases, you know, lack of personal jurisdiction or fraud or, you know, whatever it was, there isn't a category for procedures weren't followed. I mean, there just isn't one in the A, B, C, D, E. I mean, there just isn't one. So, yeah, it's our contention that at the outset that the procedures to register this Oklahoma DHS, you know, child support order were not followed, and so the district court did not have jurisdiction to, I guess you call it, confirm registration.
Okay.
Want to address the facsimile, you know, got to be a certified copy. You know, I think the issues in Kansas and North Carolina was that there was no certified copy. In this case, there was this facsimile, you know, facsimile copy. And I just want to point out to the court that, you know, I don't know that it's ever been addressed in the state of Nebraska by the appellate courts in Nebraska, but California has addressed it, Arizona has addressed it, that a facsimile copy or a copy of a certified copy is not a certified copy. Now, the issue normally comes up in an evidentiary context, not in the sort of jurisdictional, you know, trying to register an order from another state. But so that's sort of yet another problem. Lastly, I got 26 seconds left. You know, it's an interesting thing. If you read the statute, it seems to impose the burden on, you know, my client to resist any, to show the absence of personal jurisdiction. And I don't think that that's really correct, okay? I think that he cannot possibly be required to prove every, the absence of personal jurisdiction, that he simply says, look, first of all, there was no summons. Oklahoma law requires there to be a summons. There was never any summons. There was no evidence of a summons, even though this was done by a tribunal or an administrative agency, and the Oklahoma statute has authorized its administrative agency to commence these proceedings. They haven't authorized it to dispense with the requirement of a summons. I'm out of time. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Anything else? I guess there's no more questions, but thank you, Mr. Catlett. The case will be taken under submission, and you're excused.
Thank you.